The party's just begun.
Sonic Boom!
Sit, would you kindly? Where's everyone going? Bingo? Kept you waiting, huh?
I'm ready. All right, fuck it. Let's go. This is a big week here. Well, hello and welcome to the NPC Gaming Podcast, where noobs, wannabe pros, and occasional completionists gather to discuss the latest in, of course, the world of gaming. Now, there are a lot of gaming podcasts out there. There are a lot of NPC podcasts out there. And ours...
Knows how to draw dignity.
We do know how to draw... Hey, that's a good one. Yeah.
Had that's to jump dignity? In there. And it just popped in my head and yeah. I had to throw it out there.
I forgot. It looked like when I married you.
it's a door, Luann. Use it.
That's a door? Okay. All right. Good old Kirk Van Houten starter. That's definitely the theme for April. Anyways, I'm your host, Anthony Fuentes. With me, as always, is James Brizuela.
Can I borrow a feeling?
And of course, this guy who sleeps in a racing car bed, Alex Cordova. Oh,
yeah, I'm yawning right now.
Oh. I sleep in a big bed with my wife.
You sleep in a big bed with my wife. Oh, all right. Well, we got ourselves some interesting quick bits and a lot of good news.
I'll take these quick bits because I haven't done it in a while.
Yeah. Don't quickies.
Don't fucking tell me how to do quickies over there, Mr. Yawner. Anyway, starting us off, Paul World is dropping a Paul PvP mode this year. Mm. What up? Saber Interactive CEO goes on the record and says, the Knights of the Old Republic remake is alive and well. Yay.
Hey.
CD Projekt Red says they, quote, don't see a place for microtransactions in single-player games, end quote. Thank you very much, CD Projekt Red.
Okay.
And let's see, Fallout 4 officially getting the next-gen patch April 25th. Let's go. Comes with 60 FPS, increased visual stability improvements, and new quest/content coming absolutely for free.
Oh.
Also, thanks to the success of the Amazon Prime's Fallout show, more on that later, player count across all titles has hit all-time highs on Steam. Also, the Fallout London mod has been delayed due to the next-gen launches because they're saying that the new next-gen launch might fuck that mod completely up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. It's going to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But that's the way, yes.
Yes. But probably the biggest quick bit here, and should have been its own story. How dare you, whoever wrote this. Keanu Reeves has been cast as Shadow in the Sonic 3 film. Let's fucking go.
Yeah.
And finally, Dead Space back on ice as a reported new Dead Space 2 was canceled due to poor sales of the Dead Space remake.
It's because we bought it at $8 when they misdid the thing, huh? That's why.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Me and Cordova bought it for $8.
Yeah. This is a shit.
Mm-hmm. Damn, but we fucked one of the good ones, though. It's...
Whoa.
All the rest of the EA games, all right? I'm just saying. All right.
I just heard fuck the good one. I'm like, no. Jesus. Ugh. Go ahead, Fun. You go first.
All right. Well, Pal World, still haven't played it in a while, so I guess that's fun. But honestly, I can't grind in that game. I just don't got it in me. So, fun for all the Power World players still out there. Hey, you guys, way to go, buddies. Fallout 4, I mean, yeah, let's fucking see it. That's a great game. I think it's an underrated Fallout. They already had a 60 FPS, I think, patch for negative. The Xbox One, no?
Negative.
Nope. Oh, all right,
nothing.
Whatever.
It's all been 30.
Maybe I just used a mod then to fucking make it 60.
Yeah, no, there was probably a mod, but all the other Fallout games on Game Pass are all 60. Like New Vegas, Fallout 3, 76,
dude,
that's all 60.
3 in New Vegas looks great instead of 60 for sure, yeah.
I'm actually really happy about this because Fallout 4 was the Fallout that I did not really want to play that much because I like I've said this before, probably on this podcast, but in person, I fucking hate base building with a fiery passion.
That's true.
And this game makes you do that, and it fucking infuriates me. But I'm actually really excited because now we get to experience it in full 60 FPS and everything, and new quests and content. So sure, I'll launch it up and just do the basics of the base building, get past that horseshit part.
I think, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, there may be mods now. I know for PC, guaranteed there's mods that actually take out the base building. Mm-hmm. But for consoles, I'm not entirely 100% sure on that. It may be something to dig a little deeper on because there is mod support on it. I just don't know if it's to that extent.
The Xbox mods are more comprehensive than the PlayStation ones, but I think because there's like limitations Sony would allow them to make to the,
the code. But then PC mods are shit on the Xbox one. So
no, I agree. There's levels to this. When... Yes. One tier may remove fucking base building. One tier may not.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying there may be one. It might be worth checking out if you guys look it up. But I know for a fact, because that's why I rebought it on PC, is because of what James said. Like, I was like, okay, this is
James
cool.
James got a PC now. It's only a 2015 game. You can run that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, look, I don't... Mm-hmm. No, I'm not doing that. I want to play it on my console.
Too right now, but yeah, I know that there's a mod, because I remember seeing it. It literally said it turned base building off. So
I mean, good. I mean, it's not like, you don't have to do it all the way through. I remember, like, you know what pissed me off? Like, it really frustrated me was I couldn't figure out how to build that stupid old lady's chair. And I was like, dude, I'm going to throw my controller through this TV because it's not obvious. Like, they don't make it obvious. Anyway, whatever. I'm excited. I'll get back into it. I got, I don't know, like 10-ish hours into it before. I just never went further past that, just because I got distracted, because Fallout games just take forever because there's so much to find, much to see. I love the story beginning. I don't know anything about it. Surprisingly, I haven't seen any spoilers even this long since the game came out, so yeah, I'm excited.
It's an interesting story now that, again, we'll talk about the show later, but I'm like, it still has the Fallout feel, which is very, very, very cool. Like, I don't know, because
I stopped in that fucking game, too. I distinctly remember the story beat that I stopped at because they asked you to build, like, a portal or something.
Yes. Oh, that one was so fucking annoying.
All right.
You're going to have to build one more time, James. That's what he's saying.
Build something. They tell you to build something, like an electrical thing, and I'm, like, looking, and it's like, oh, you don't have high enough science. I'm like... So what, I'm supposed to go back out and grind to get my science up? Fuck that, I'm not doing that shit.
Oh yeah, you do.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I just stopped right there.
Well, and the other thing too is like they don't allow you to, you have to like build yourself up so that way you can make the better guns, and also to the power armor. To fix it, you have to have like a certain level, which again, I don't know. I just feel like that took out the core specialness of what Fallout is, because you didn't, I mean, granted, you up your stuff to do lockpicks and to get those second chances on the computer terminals, but I don't know, I just felt like they were putting too much of an emphasis on the building aspect of it, and that's what kind of bothered me. That's kind of why I fell out of it. But you know, I don't know, I'm excited to give it another chance and see what it's packing with the next gen update.
Agreed. Plus, also, it has a really good overworld. Like, the Boston or Massachusetts is really, really good in Fallout 4. So I'm anxious to see it run a lot better. Because there were parts where I don't know about this.
Well, I'm even holding out on it because I rebought it on Steam, I think. Because, like I said, the Game of the Year edition is only like $8 right now. So I bought it to play on my Steam Deck just because I'm like, you know what? Fallout fits that perfect little, like, let me just get a quest in or let me go explore while I'm like portable or whatever. But everyone's saying that like right now it runs, but like they want to see what the next gen patch does, because The Witcher 3 had a similar type of patch. And it makes all the difference on the Steam Deck, because like people could totally optimize it and all that shit. So I'm kind of holding off on restarting it until, what is it, 10 days from now when it comes out? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
yeah.
Well, when like this episode drops, 9 days, huh? How about that?
Oh, hey, there you go. But speaking of Witcher 2, CD Projekt Red, you know, they, let's not forget 2020, you know, Cyberpunk launched in the absolute shit state, and here we are 3-4 years later, and like everyone is back on CD Projekt Red's nuts because they like totally turned it around. They're constantly giving us free shit.
And totally redeemed yourself.
Totally redeemed
yourself. Yep. So, and, you know, they have a point here. Like, I guess I don't have a problem with microtransactions when it's optional. But,
yeah.
Well, and there's a reason this is in there. And then there's a reason that this big story, the first big story we're going to get to with Fwen's boys at Ubisoft.
Hey.
You'll see the yin and yang. Yeah. But well, once we get to that one, it'll make sense. But I think we can all agree that if our boy Hayden Christensen, which we reported on a couple episodes ago, was rumored to be Shadow. If it wasn't going to be him, then Keanu Reeves is the only one that can top him, dude.
Yeah, tell you that. I'm with that. I'm with fucking Shadow Wick, dude. Let him fucking be a goddamn menace. Oh, it's going to be good.
If CD Projekt Red took anything from No Man's Sky, which I keep saying is great, then yeah, they just released all this cool free shit, and we're like, we're gonna fix the game, which No Man's Sky did. You know, and they continue to keep doing that. I don't even know how many free updates they've released, like 25 at this point.
It's been like fucking, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah.
Like just free updates, right?
Yeah, yep, yep. Take a note, people. This is how you do live service games, but I agree, like, microtransactions, for me, at least, I don't mind if they're in the game, but if they're cosmetic and they serve no purpose other than you're stupid and you want to buy a $25 cape or whatever. But in terms of it allowing you to get better in the game, I think that's absolutely horseshit and that should be taken out. But and also they should give everybody the chance to earn them through in-game currency.
Yeah.
I mean, League of Legends has been doing that, like, and I've never spent a penny on that fucking game, and when I played for a long time, I just saved all the points and I kept buying new champions and buying cool shit. And I was like, I'm just going to keep doing this. Like, it'll take a while to grind it out, but I don't have to spend money if I don't need to. I mean, granted, they make you grind it out pretty extensively, but still, like, it's not, you know, you're not spending your hard earned money on a cape, you know? So,
yeah, that's very, very true. Yeah, or, you know, like a Bethesda game, just mod it in there. Just mod it in there.
Yeah.
Don't pay for shit.
But shout out to, just to switch gears real quick, shout out to Saber Interactive for not only branching off of Embracer Group, giving them the big fuck you, but also reviving KOTOR. Let's go.
Yep.
Let's go.
I'm with it.
I hope fuck it you, gets Embracer. I hope it gets the Final Fantasy VII treatment, you know? Like, it's still true to the original, but it's kind of a new game, you know? Like, they should totally do that.
I'm telling you, give me that same story. The same story beats, everything the same. The planets, will add some more shit if you want to. But then give me Jedi Survivor gameplay. Woo! I will fucking lose my mind if they do that.
Now you're speaking my language.
I'm gonna slap you.
I'm gonna slap you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm all for it as long as they do it right. And I mean, the same day, this goes along the same direction as like Metal Gear Solid 3, the remake. It's like, dude, don't just make it prettier and don't really change like the core dynamics of it. And I think everybody will be pretty happy about that.
Yes, yes.
You know, give it a new coat of paint, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, see, this is good stuff. And also, I mean, fucking, I lost my train of thought there.
What about fucking Power World? You guys heard about it?
I was going to go back to Dead Space, actually.
Oh, okay.
No, because it was, they were planning on doing, like, not a remake of 2. It was going to be a whole different new Dead Space game. And I guess the studio itself is still, like, very valued at EA because the game was so good. They just put them on another project, which we don't know what it is.
Well, I thought they went to Iron Man. Oh, some of them went
to Iron Man. Oh, it was Iron Man. Yes. Yeah, they got split into the Iron Man team. That's right. So, hey.
Wait, it's the same studio?
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Well, the Iron Man team is pulling from the EA Motive, which did Battlefield.
Oh,
they're pulling
from
Dead Space team. They're pulling from a whole bunch of heavy hitters to make the Iron Man game like the next superhero game, which I hope it is, but we'll see. You know,
I was just going to say, if they don't take direct lessons from like Arkham Asylum and Spider-Man, then just don't fucking do it, dude, because you're just going to make it a shitty Ubisoft Iron Man game, EA Iron Man game, and just make everybody mad.
Yeah.
But
Yep.
But I do have faith because didn't EA do Jedi Survivor and Jedi Fallen Order?
Yeah, but that was mostly Respawn. Like, I'm not entirely sure if Respawn has people on the Iron Man game. I just know for, like, solid fact that they did pull from EA Motive, which is the Battlefield team. Mm-hmm. And I read that they pulled some people from the Dead Space team. From I'm not Dead sure Space if they crew, pulled... Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure if they pulled people from Respawn, because Respawn was kind of like one of those... you know, like studios that had God of War influence and stuff like that, and of course Apex and Titanfall, but I'm not entirely 100% sure if they pulled people onto Iron Man from that. So,
and we'll find out soon. You know, whenever they fucking drop Iron Man.
Oh man, yeah,
Jim, can you look that up real quick?
Yeah. So now I'm just I was like, I was trying to remember what Motive did, and now
I thought they were on Battlefield, no?
Yeah, they were on they did Battlefront 2, but ugh.
Well, they Battlefront turned it around, but
yeah, I don't know about that one. And then they did Star Wars Squadrons. I never I bought it and I never touched it.
I mean, I like it. It's just not, you know, it's something new. I liked it. It was very Star Warsy.
Yeah, but that's it. And then they got the Dead Space remake, and then now they're doing Iron Man, so they're not.
Yeah, I mean.
We'll see. I don't know, man. Yeah, we'll see. You know what? We'll see.
It's not as guaranteed as Keanu Reeves Shadow News. You know, we know that's going to be good.
I mean, that's going to be amazing. Yeah. I wasn't even the least bit upset that our boy Hayden Christensen wasn't cast. I was like, Keanu Reeves, fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, oh, you know what? All right, I'll take it. Yep. It's like getting Stone Cold for WrestleMania, but we got The Undertaker instead. I'm like, okay, that works.
I just want him to come out of that tube, quote unquote, that they showed, or whatever the fuck he was in at the end of Sonic 2, and just say, yeah, I'm thinking I'm back. You know, that's all it needs. That's how Sonic 3 needs to kick off, dude.
Jesus.
Yeah. No, he's going to say, no, I got it. He's going to say, yeah, I'm thinking I'm fast.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's a good one.
Bang bang.
Oh,
all right. Bang, that's
a good one. Oh my gosh. Well, now that we got the quick stuff out of the way, how about we tag
whoa.
Was there something else?
You just glossed over Power, and I thought you guys were gonna be all excited about that.
I mean, I was gonna say, like, when I originally read it.
It's fine.
When I originally read it, I was thinking it was gonna be like a multiplayer shooting mode with Paul's like in it. But it's not. It's going to be just only PAL PvP. So it's like, bro, like the gameplay, or I'm sorry, not the gameplay, the gunplay is heavily inspired by Fortnite, right? It's like they could have did something unique here, but from what I read, it's just going to be PAL PvP. So it's like, why can't we do like a multiplayer arena where like six people drop in with their PAL? And you get to shoot and you get to throw your PALs out, and that would be unique.
It's not, you're not using your pals, it's just a pal versus pal?
No, well, like, no, you're using your pal, but I don't think you're shooting or...
Oh, you're not engaging with them, no, you're just throwing them out there, and then they have their weapons. Oh, that's stupid. I think
so, yeah. But if it was like a shooting, and you can use your pals, like, that would be way more better, dude. Like, make a fucking battle royale out of that.
Yeah, because then they can come up with the whole system where, like, you have a shield, and then you have certain power-ups or whatever you can collect or stuff like that to make you last longer in battle or whatever, and you're going at it with other people that have those same possibilities but with their pals. Yeah, that's stupid. I thought it was full-on. Everybody had guns, and it was just a normal PvE, but as PvP.
No, that's what I was expecting too, but I think from what I read, they all specifically mentioned PAL PvP, so it's like...
Whack.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, you guys had an opportunity here to fucking blow it up, like, jump into the...
They got all that money. They got all that goddamn money. Hire just a small team. Make it happen. Come on. There's a lot of people out of work right now. They could use some of that money.
Yeah, fucking a PAL... Battle Royale mode where you can just drop in with one pal and I mean, come on, dude. See, that's money right there.
That's a lot of good ideas that, you know, see? Hire us. We'll shoot a couple. We'll pitch a couple. We'll be fine. who wants the Star Wars story, huh?
I'll take that one because this is pretty bad.
Yeah, go for it.
And from quick bits into a quick piece of shit story. All right. Oh. Star Wars Outlaw release date and controversy. What did Ubisoft do? Well, they did this. They dropped the story trailer for their upcoming scoundrel-focused Star Wars game, which looks awesome. However, they showed off some story beats and some familiar faces from the Star Wars universe so far. They also dropped that August 30th, 2024 is the official release date. But hold the fuck up 1 minute. In true Ubisoft fashion, they sucked the hype right out of this announcement. Of course, the standard edition for the game will be $70, which we all know that's how much games cost nowadays. However, there is a bonus story mission featuring a well-known Star Wars Underworld character locked behind the gold and ultimate editions priced at $110 and $130 respectively. Come on, Ubisoft.
Wow.
What the hell? Dude,
I mean, I don't even know if it's a spoiler to say what character it is, but it's a big one. So
I mean, I don't care.
I don't care because like this kind of sours the game for me.
It really does.
So they locked this mission called the raid on Jabba's palace behind the season pass, which is basically like, so it's going to be in the game. And you know how these pieces of shit work now where it's like, oh, let me just download 100 kilobyte unlock key. And that's it.
Yes. I was going to say it's the Capcom fucking tactic, right? Where it's all on the disc anyways. They're like, oh, cool. You paid for it. You get it.
It's kind of crazy, too, because a lot of games that do this, it's only like they do it in like the digital edition or whatever it is, but it's only like maybe $10 more. And you get like the cosmetics or whatever, and then you get the special mission, or they do it console exclusive. Like Hogwarts Legacy had a specific PlayStation mission or whatever. But to charge that much more for a fucking paywall mission, bro, come on.
But you get the gun skins too, James.
Well, I mean, you get skins, you get the season pass and shit, but it's like come on. To lock a Jabba the Hutt mission behind, that's the only way you can play it with the season.
Yeah.
It's not even a season pass mission, though. It's in the game. It's in the launch game. And they're just saying like, oh yeah, if you get that, we'll just unlock that mission for you. So people are upset at that. And I believe the only difference between that $110 and $130 edition is 3 days of early access and a digital art book. So $20 for 3 days early and a digital art book.
Uh-huh. Yeah, wow. That's crazy. Like $40 more, and that's like two. That should be like two or three DLCs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's speaking reasonably, James. Come on here. Come on. Ubisoft, dude. What are you?
Man, and it sucks. And it sucks too because like the game looks so good, and we were all like, "Oh man, like a first like bounty hunter focused game. This is gonna be great." Well, sort of the first one, not really, but you know.
Yeah.
But damn, dude, that's. Well, hopefully, they're gonna learn their lesson and listen to the gaming community, like a lot of developers have, and they're gonna get pushed into releasing it for either cheaper or just for free, because that's pretty bad.
It's Ubisoft, dude. Unless the game's broken, ain't gonna happen.
Ubisoft is gonna drop it like maybe a year or two after release, but even then, that's fucking. Whew, that's hoping and praying right there.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think they've ever really... Usually in the Assassin's Creed, they have a story mission in there that's like, quote-unquote, locked behind a pre-order bonus. You know, like, it's usually just a stupid little mission. Like, I know Mirage had something about the whole, like, King of Thieves or Alibaba. Like, you know, like, they usually have that. I get that. That's an Ubisoft thing. But, like, to straight up say that the only way you can play a Jabba the Hutt mission... I don't even know if it's the, but you know, it's called fucking the raid on Jabba's palace. Like, what Star Wars fan doesn't want to do that? Like,
yeah,
they know. That's why they're charging you.
So the fact that that's like, yeah, you guys want to play this, you got to buy the $40 season pass. It's like, come on.
It's because they didn't hold anything.
But you know, hey, look what happened to EA when they tried to get greedy with Star Wars Battlefront 2. Dude, it took them a whole fucking year and a half to get that game back to like to get the players' respect back, and by that time it was too little too late. So if Ubisoft drops the ball, you know, who knows, this might be the only Star Wars game that they do.
They're already off to a horrible start with this shit. Like,
yep.
Again, this just goes back to like the many conversations we've had about the investors just poking their fucking stupid faces in business of gaming developers. It's like, hey, how can we screw over the everyday gamer that probably can only afford $70 and not even that ever so often, you know what I mean? Like, and then charge $40 and then $60, you're basically paying for fucking two games.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
Why when you said that, James, I was like, I got punched in the nose for sticking my face in the business.
It sounds like a country song.
Hey, and the Jedi Survivor had a pretty reasonable ass, you know, EA... of all fucking developers and
they
shit.
They learned their lesson the Battlefront, though.
EA was only like... I think they gave you... They didn't even give you extra story missions. They gave you, like, extra skins, extra lightsaber shit. Like, you know, a hefty amount for only, like, $15 more. So, like, that... Yeah, it's bad when EA is the...
But Disney was pissed at EA for that Battlefront 2 thing. That was early on in the year. I think now Disney's more used to the gaming industry. Like, yeah, fuck them a little bit. Like, it'll be fine. Like, they'll get over it. Like, that's where I think that's where Disney is at right now. Where they're like, we're not going to be as protective right now. They're already doing Star Wars other shit over here. So,
yeah. Going back to the Wedding Singer reference, we are Robbie Hart. The gamers are Robbie Hart. Ubisoft is that old man. And the fucking developers are, what's his name? I can't remember the guy she's supposed to marry or whatever.
Fucking Guglia? Fucking what's
his
name?
Yeah.
Glenn
Guglia. Mm-hmm. And so he punches him, and then the gamer's like, what are you doing? I'm sorry, I used to be a lot smarter. That's fucking Ubisoft right now, with the investors just poking their faces in it.
Everybody who pre-ordered this game is like, once again, information will be reported to me yesterday!
Ubisoft, once they get all their money, they're going to be like, I got punched in the nose, sticking my face in other people's business with that stupid little fucking, you know, shrug he does.
Everybody that buys the $110, $130 version will be like, I just want someone to hold me and tell me everything's going to be okay. And here comes Ubisoft, everything's going to be okay.
Oh, God. I'm buying it at 70. Well, Alex, you know what? I'm not even buying it at 70. Don't mean you get on $40 sale.
Yeah, that's now it. I'm gonna. That's, now that's it was gonna be a day one. It was gonna be a day one for me, but I'm gonna wait now because that's horseshit.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. We got a lot of aggression out on that one. All right.
Bullshit. But this dropped today. Let me take this one.
Take it.
This one dropped today. I found it.
You know
it.
What you must do. Next. All right. Last one.
This should cheer you guys up. All right. So. No? Okay, all right. Fuck
the last part. We'll see.
All right, so an Invincible game is incoming. So Skybound Entertainment, who is most well known for the Walking Dead Telltale series, announced today that they have launched a somewhat non-conventional Kickstarter campaign aimed to bring us a AAA game set in the Invincible universe. Mm-hmm. The campaign so far has raised $448,000 as of today and demolished the $50,000 goal. But there's a reason for that. So, apparently, unlike conventional Kickstarter campaigns for video games, where... You know, if you contribute to the campaign, Kickstarter, you usually get a copy of the game, you get your name in the credits or something like that. This one is a little unique because apparently you can only invest $100 in it, quote unquote investment. But this investment is not equity in the company like a normal investment, but rather something called a, quote, crowdsafe holding, end quote. So I have this pulled up. I'm going to read this to you guys right now.
Okay.
So a crowdsafe holding is not actually equity in the company, but rather, quote, an agreement that may provide investors with equity upon certain future events.
Okay.
It goes on to further say a crowdsafe investment is a contract between investors and companies looking to raise capital. Individuals making investments for the chance to earn a return in the form of equity in the company or cash payout if the company is acquired, goes public, or sells all of its assets. So, I don't know why they're doing this, but yeah.
It sounds like they're not that sure they can actually make the fucking game.
So, here's what's weird about it to begin with. Like, it's a AAA game. And they only asked for $50,000.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And so that's already weird in and of itself. But then it's like, how do you not fucking know that Invincible video game would go gangbusters? Like, are you kidding me? Like, that show is so popular, and it's killing it on Amazon Prime. And I'm sure everybody's been asking for this for a long time. They have that mobile game already, and I'm sure that one does well. I see advertisements for it all the time. But even regardless of that, like $50,000, and even so, like $448,000, that doesn't go a long way in a current video game.
But it's weird though, because on the actual page from Skybound, their quote unquote investment page, right? They're saying here that they have already raised $18 million from everyday investors and fans via Republic / Cedars, and they are asking for more money. So they already have $18 million, but they're asking for more money via this crowd-safe investment, which is, I don't know, I'm not a real estate or Wall Street guy. I don't understand it, but it's just weird, like you said. Mm-hmm. It's Invincible is there. What the fuck do you need?
It sounds like tipping culture has now infiltrated the gaming industry. This is a gratuity charge for even thinking about this fucking thing.
I mean, realistically, this could also be a ploy for them to convince investors that it's going to happen. They go, okay, we're going to throw like a bullshit $50,000 goal out there, and then we're going to show you how popular and how wanted this game is. Mm, and the first day, it blows the roof off the $50,000 goal, and they go, see, we know that the Invincible game is going to work, so maybe this is like the final, whatever studio is going to develop it was like, well, how do we know this is going to go well or whatever? That would be the only reason why I would think they would do this. But then to not give you a copy of the game or even say you're going to get your name on a wall or whatever in the game, like that's kind of bullshit.
You get $10,000 Skybound points.
Yeah, right.
For use on their website.
Like I would be like, all right, like. Whatever alien Omni-Man punches the teeth out of, I want my name on one of those fucking teeth. And I want to see it. I want to see it happen. That's what I would want. Yeah. I'd be like, hell yeah, take my $100.
You're actually the name of just random NPC just gets fucking destroyed. Yeah, just, like a building just falls on it.
That just gets absolutely wrecked.
Put me on the train at the end of season one. That's all I'm going to say, dude. Put me on the train.
That's all the investors right there, dude.
I will say, like what Fwen said, put me as an innocent bystander during the city part in season two, and I'll just leave it at that. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Season two, very, very good. Very, very
good. Yes, very, very good. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is weird. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know.
It's making me suspicious. Suspicious. Yeah,
Make me think a lot,
smart guy. this is just weird, man. Like, and their wording and crowd save and like all that. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know, let's go kill some birds. I'm psyched.
All right. Well, that was the news section, but we got two rumors here. We got to dive into. What's up?
Can I just throw in a random kind of not gaming news bit here?
Sure, I can just do it right now.
But it's gonna make a couple of us here happy. Oh. I'm not sure about the third person, but
Jesus Christ!
It was just announced earlier, like maybe like an hour ago, 2 hours ago, maybe. Huh? That our boy Dan Harmon, who co-created Rick and Morty, is being brought in to rewrite the One Punch Man movie.
I read about that. Yes. Yeah, Dan Harmon. Man.
Not gaming related, but I just had to throw that in there because it excited me.
I thought you were going to talk about the other little quick bit that we had that we didn't get to talk about with the whole Simpsons hit and run.
We didn't even. Why didn't we put that in here? That hit and run is that a version of hit and run is now playable online.
There you go. See?
I don't know how to find it, but there you go. But if you find it, send it to us, please. Yeah.
But Dan Harmon covering One Punch Man is going to be great. He's a great writer.
Yep.
And with not just Rick and Morty, but Community, like he knows how to tell a story. So let's see, we'll see. I think it's a movie, right?
Yes, it's a movie. It's the first One Punch Man movie.
Shit. Okay. Give us a solid 2 hours of just fucking One Punch Man chaos right there. I'm down. All right. Give us a game too. Fuck it. Well, we can talk about it.
There's a game. It sucks, dude.
Oh, really?
It was a fighting game.
That's fucking lame. Never mind.
Yeah. They need to give us an open world one. Open world, One Punch Man. What's up?
Exactly. We punch the pedestrians, dude. I'll kickstart that so I get my name as a pedestrian. That'd be good. Jeez. All right. Well, leaky rumor real time. I got this one. It's a pretty easy rumor. Like, we all expect it. Gears of War 6 is expected to be announced by Microsoft in June. That's right. The grand finale for Xbox's Summer Showcase may have already been leaked early. It appears Gears of War 6 is finally set to reveal to the public. Along with Gears, though, release dates for Avowed, Indiana Jones, and the next Call of Duty are also set to be announced. It sounds like a really basic Microsoft conference yet again, but pretty cool that we get to see Gears of War.
What are they doing in that game now? What happened? Wasn't it his son?
Marcus's son was 4, and then like his little buddy Cat took over in 5, and she could talk to Locust, and now there's they're not even Locust anymore. They're called something else. I fucking forgot. And
you already lost me.
Yeah, it's like everyone was hyped because like Marcus was back in 4, and he was all fucking old, and they're like, hell yeah, old man Marcus, and then it's like. I get it. You can play as a son. Like, I'm down with that. But then 5, the story was whatever, dude. The gameplay was good. It was better. They're trying to expand on things. But just the story was like, That's all I got for that. I mean,
I don't have an Xbox anymore anyway. But I want to say that I didn't play 4, but I saw you play it, I believe. I saw a little bit about it, and it looked kind of whatever, so.
Yeah, it's like Gears of War was, 1-3 is, don't get me wrong, Halo trilogy, like that's
We played numbers 3 together, like all together.
Yep.
And yeah, that storyline was fucking incredible.
Dude. Yeah, those are downright classics.
They are. They really are.
Yeah, but. To me, if they can just do what Halo Infinite ended up doing 2 years into its run, just do it in the beginning. Just do a game that good right away so people don't have anything to bitch about, and then I think Gears 6 might have some potential. But yeah, I just don't trust it. I don't know what it is.
No, that's the thing is that, you know, look at PlayStation. They've expanded. The God of War has gone through fucking 6 games and then it relaunched, quote unquote, you know, in a new type of mode or a new type of gameplay, which is now fresh and everyone's like, fuck yeah. Gears hasn't done that. Halo even did that a little bit, like you said, with Infinite, right? They made it open world. They made it with side missions and stuff like that. That was cool. Like, I get it. But the thing that fucked Halo Infinite was just, like we said, the lack of things in the beginning. Like, for something called Infinite, it's really, right now, it's really, really finite. Like, you can see that if they would have launched with everything it has now, yeah, it would have been cool. But, like, the fact that they just didn't do that, and Gears of War is, like, it's right, there was a time when Gears of War was better than Halo, that's what people bought Xbox for.
Yeah.
And now
they haven't had a solid announcement though that got people hyped since 3.
They ought to just do that. They just should just reboot it. Even if it's like a soft reboot or whatever, but reboot it and do something different and just call it Gears of War and start it over and start from the beginning and bring Marcus back and, you know, do the core thing but make it, I don't know, you know, different.
I'm actually down for like a full-on remake. That's not a bad idea.
That too, whatever.
They need to do a fucking, like everyone's been asking for the past 10 fucking years, is the Marcus Fenix collection, where they remaster Gears 1-3 for current gen, and just give us everything at once. Like,
For sure.
That's been on the rumor mill, but like it's one of those things where I guess it's completed, but they're just sitting on it like Nintendo did with fucking Metroid, which was a great remaster. Very, very good stuff, but it would have been nice to have it a little earlier, you know?
I don't know. I mean, if they did do that, if they did the Marcus Fenix collection, that would be a console seller for sure.
Yeah, but no, absolutely. Game Pass fucking subscription seller right there, dude.
But, you know, whatever. It's Microsoft. What are you going to do?
Yeah, they dropped the ball with these guys coming up on the fucking leaky rumor mill. Who wants this one?
I'll take this one since I'm a Bungie boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. But there's been a big rumor that Bungie is not done with Destiny after all. So apparently Bungie has been working on a top secret project apart from the previously announced Marathon PvP game that we've talked about and their secret Matter game that we've also talked about. But recent internet rumblings from a renowned leaker on Reddit is saying that Destiny 3 may be coming after all. The leaker posted on Reddit saying that D3 has been in development for at least 2 years with the code name Payback. There may be some truth to this, as this Reddit user also leaked the new recently revealed Destiny 2 subclass coming in the next big DLC in like 2 months. And that subclass was officially revealed by Bungie just this past week on their little fucking Thursday Bungie podcast shit that they do. Ooh. So this guy obviously has an insider knowledge into Bungie because he called this shit like months and months ago about this new subclass. So now he's saying Destiny 3 may be actually coming after all. So I don't know, dude. Bungie's really, really spread thin right now.
They haven't had the best year.
Yeah, well, you know, we talked about it a couple months ago with the whole, like, Sony was threatening them with, like, if they don't pick up their shit, they're going to take them over.
Yes, yes, you know? They're being the angry dads, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, there was a big Destiny update that just released for free that was, like, it added a horde mode, which people have been asking for since, like, Destiny 1, and I can confirm that I played it, you know, this past week when it launched. It's very, very fun. It's very addictive. But it's like, why couldn't you guys give us this shit like fucking 5 years ago or 4 years ago? Like, I just don't get... This is one of those modes that's like people want in a sequel and then they gave it to you, what, like fucking almost 8 years later after the sequel launched. So, yeah, it may be too little too late. But, I mean, I don't know, man. Like, Destiny 3, if it comes, it'll be... It has to be like a total rework because... Destiny 2 lost a lot of people and they're never coming back pretty much unless something changes drastically.
Yeah, I mean, I was never, I don't know, something about Destiny never really grabbed me. So that by now that it's on its third one, I know it's a moneymaker though. It is a moneymaker and maybe three will reinvigorate it.
It was a moneymaker.
It was, you're right. No, you're right, it was. It was.
Like, Vanilla Destiny, when it came out, because it was new, was so much fun, and we played the shit out of it. Mm-hmm. But it fell into the pitfall of most looter shooters, and or rather more RPG style, that, like, the end game content became obsolete after every DLC they released. Mm. And then we thought they would have fixed those issues when 2 came out, but they didn't. It took a long time for them to fix 2. So, I mean, it has its charm, and it's definitely fun to a point. At least for me it was. And then I just got tired of the inconsistencies with their, like, oh, we're going to do this and that. And the problems for 1 carried over to 2, but, I mean, Alex still plays, so he can speak more on, like, their how they fixed it. But at least when I stopped playing, they hadn't really fixed it all the way yet. So... Mm.
Yeah, it's one of those games that's very, like, I mean, it's like when we played it, when Destiny 2 launched, we were all hyped for it because Destiny 1, there was, you know, fond memories on the consoles, man. Like, raids in Destiny 1 were awesome. There was, yeah. There's nothing like it on consoles. And even nowadays, like, there's really, unless you want to spend fucking 10 hours on a goddamn MMO doing a raid, you know, like, that's... That's extreme, right?
That doesn't sound like fun to me at all.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, but a Destiny 2 raid is you and 5 other friends, like 6 friends, doing somewhat simple / you know, complicated mechanics to get down, like, this raid, right? And the only thing that sucked and that kind of still sucks is that the fact that, you know, you have fun and you play this raid and then a person that... is a lower level than you. Let's just, I'm not going to pick on my sister or anything, but one of the newer raids that launched last year in Lightfall, it's a fun raid, but it's the fact that we've ran this raid and it took me 8 months to get the exotic for this raid while my sister got it on the second time she did it with us, right? Yes. And by the time I got my first exotic, she already had fucking 5 of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, that's Destiny in a nutshell, but it's just, you know, it's fun. It's very, yeah, it's hard to describe unless you actually experience it, man. But, like, you know, the raids.
To add to that real quick, like, there was a special uber crazy powerful rocket launcher called the Galahorn that was in the first one, and me and Alex were sitting there grinding, like, raid after raid to try to get the drop, and then our buddies, not gonna name any names, Chris Ramirez, got it, like, after the first try of the raid. I was like, oh, of course they give it to you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's frustrating in that way, but yeah, like Alex said, it's something that you would have to experience to know,
yeah,
to really fully take in the charm it does have. But it's kind of like, yeah, it's a rough looter shooter in the sense that, like, they kind of drive home the grind a little too much for it being a console like shooter, for me at least.
Yeah, they have alleviated that recently, especially with this new this new Into the Light, which I'll talk about a little later. But like I said, they added a free update that added Horde mode, right? So now there's ways that you can say, like, really, really simple that, you know, you're like, you know what? I want to grind for this sword. So all you have to do is, like, talk to this one person. And they'll quote unquote, do something called a tuning, where it's a very, very high rate of drops for you completing this Horde mode, where after every wave, you're going to get that sword. So if you want a certain role, you can just keep playing and playing and playing. And it's fun that way, right? But like I said, it took them fucking 8 years to get to this shit. It's like, why couldn't this be in Destiny 2 in the very, very beginning? Because then people would be like, oh, dude, this is awesome. This is like the next step forward. It just took them this long. So
because people stopped playing. They're like, oh, shit, we're losing people, we're losing people, we're losing people. That's why. Exactly. That's why it happened. Yep. There's no other reason other than they're getting fucking greedier and desperate. That's it.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Gaming, baby.
Exactly. So, you know, man, I'll keep an eye on it. If a 3 does come, it'd have to be really, really amazing to have people come back. Because, you know, 2 has left a very sour taste in a lot of people's mouths, even though they have gone a long way to fix it. But you know, if they're going to be doing
the story
Destiny
of 1 too, though, like by the time 1 wrapped up, it was like way more refined, and then they went back on a lot of stuff with 2.
Well, 1 was very, like, you know, me and James we've talked about it. Like, it pops up on my Facebook every couple days where it says, remember this day, and it's like me and James sharing Destiny tips or Destiny raids. Mm-hmm. And it was just the fact that it was broken into DLCs where, like, you know, Destiny 1, Vanilla, there was one raid. It was the Vault of Glass. That shit was awesome to play, but it was the fact that they kind of limit it to where, you know what, you can only get a chance at an exotic one time a week. They call it the reset, right? So it's like you play the raid once a week, and if you don't get that exotic that week, you have to wait a whole nother week. Now, you can still play the raid, you just won't get a chance at the exotic. So that kind of killed it, right? And this is 20, what was
it? Can I hear the angst in your voice right now? From the
Well, it was like 2014, 2012. It was a long-ass time ago, right? But nowadays, Destiny 2 changed it to where they have a rotating raid, to where if that raid is featured, you can farm the shit out of that raid. You can fucking, you know, there's cheeses where you can just save the checkpoint on the boss and literally spend 10 minutes just beating the boss, and you get a chance at the exotic, So they changed it, but it's like it's too little too late because people have already moved on, you know?
Yep.
But, if they come out swinging with Destiny 3, it has to pretty much be like the best thing that Bungie has ever done, which I don't know if they still got it in them. Because, you know, they had a lot of
I love how your standard
shit,
is. Like, no, next game, though, they got to do literally, like, the most insane, amazing shit. Yeah. Otherwise, money.
Well, they've had two Destinies to figure it out. And this one, it's been a longer shelf life and more DLCs and more fixes. Yep. So, at number 3, when it comes out, better be the best of both worlds, but more. Because then it's otherwise it's going to be like, oh, so you just released the new Destiny that comes with new classes and, like, you polish it up a little bit, but it's the same shit. So, it's not the type of game. So, like, from Spider-Man 1 to Spider-Man 2, they really didn't change a whole lot, but they didn't need to. This one, they would have to change everything pretty extensively for it to be a success. Otherwise, people are just going to move on quickly, like I did and like a lot of people did.
There's a lot of games that do what Destiny does now. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Right?
So, They just don't realize that it's like, all right, you're taking too long to get to the real point/core of what this game's supposed to be, and now people don't care anymore. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, good luck, Bungie.
Yep.
All right, well, that was our leaky room. A lot of heated fucking vent. The 3 of us hadn't been on here in a while. There's a lot of anger. But I think this is a lot more positive because we're going to do it. Did they get it right? And we're doing it with a brand new video game adaptation. And this would be Amazon Prime's Fallout, which how far are you guys into this before we get a little further?
I am in the middle of episode 3.
Oh, shit.
I was going to say, I'm in the exact same place probably.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. Finished it yesterday.
Okay.
Whole thing.
Nice. Okay, so I guess me and Alex will start.
Start, yes.
from what I've seen so far, I'll even say just from the first episode, fuck yeah, they got it right.
There you go.
Honestly, like we talked about it and I was very like, I still don't really care as much for the main character, the protagonist, but she surprised me with how funny she is. And for me, I feel like she's the walking, talking epitome of a Vault Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's what a Vault Boy would sound like if a Vault Boy talked. And that had like, and yeah, so I, without spoilers or whatever, just everything, everything that I've seen so far of it, the callbacks to the video games, which if anybody, I know there's a lot of people watching that probably don't know anything about the video games, but there's a lot of callbacks and they're really good. Walton Goggins is fucking fantastic in it.
Oh yeah.
The guy, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but the guy that's with the Brotherhood of Steel, like the Brotherhood of Steel themselves, is fantastic.
Yeah, the character's name is Max.
Yeah. Yes, Max. I don't know. I don't know the actor's name is what I meant, but yeah, I even like for me, just the little like icing on the cake, if you will, is the Vault Boy bobbleheads popping up. And it's just a cool little, because that's what you collect in the games. You find them and they give you like certain power-ups or whatever in Fallout, but it's just cool that they keep popping up. Mm. And it's not in a way that's forced. I'm just like, oh shit, there's another one. It's just really cool. I was worried about the core story. I thought it was not going to be in line with how the stakes are high for Fallout games for the protagonist. But that I was completely wrong. I was like, "Oh shit, okay, this is cool."
Yeah, the opening scene, just the beginning too. Fucking A. It's
yeah, the opening scene, the everything. Like I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and I'm watching it with Nat, and she doesn't know anything about Fallout, and she's enjoying it too. I'm like, yeah, this is like really good so far.
Yeah,
so.
People, because they know my love of Fallout, have actually told me, and they've never played the games. They're like, "Dude, this show's pretty good." I'm like, "Yeah,
yeah."
This is it. It respects the fucking source material a lot.
It does.
Like a lot.
It does. Yeah, it does. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, it's such a like a breath of fresh air to have a good video game adaptation after the shitstorm that was Halo. Oh, man. Like, you know, Halo 2, the season 2, I'm going to be honest. I don't know why me and Nate kept watching it, but we did. And it's kind of like where it's like, bro, why does it take them 8 fucking episodes to get to like the Halo feel? I just don't understand it. And
where did it get to the fireworks factory?
And you know, it's like, fuck, man. Like this game in the first fucking opening scene, that's Fallout.
Yeah.
That fucking opening scene is Fallout. That is straight from the video game.
I like how you called it a game in your heart. You're like, because it respects the goddamn source material.
Yeah, and then, you know, like, Halo, it's like, bro, I told Nate, I'm like, you know, it's funny, the Brotherhood of Steel, they had their armor on longer than fucking Master Chief did, and those motherfuckers, you can get out of the armor quicker in the game than you can than Master Chief does. Like, it's just so stupid that, man, I don't want to get hot on Halo, but yeah.
It's okay, like, stop the hate, all right? We're talking good shit.
I was a little worried because of how badly the Lord of the Rings series was bashed. I never watched it because you guys know me, I'm not really that big of a fan, but I was worried about that because I was like, man, is this going to be another case of them just throwing a bunch of money at something and it ends up being pretty crappy? But
yeah.
I'm happy so far.
Honestly, I was with you. I had the same fucking concern. Like, yeah, I was really worried about that, actually.
Yep.
I mean, it looked pretty, and I was like, damn, it looks good. I'm like, but fuck, are they just throwing a bunch of money at to make it look good?
It looks even better than the trailers, though. I feel like the trailers, the special effects were not nearly as complete as they are in the actual show.
Yeah. Right.
Like, yeah, I don't know. I'm like, again, I'm done. Like, I finished it. It's immediately after finishing it, I was like, fuck, I want more. I want a lot more. And also, I kind of want to go back and watch it again. Like, it's weird. It's one of the few shows I've seen recently. Every episode is better than the last one. It actually keeps building on it. And the finale, okay, so I put it like this. It's like there is a through line, right? There is stories, but also a lot of it is like almost like a monster of the week, like an instance happening that's unique to that episode, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like side quests. It's like side quests in Fallout. And there's like just a small thread connecting them, but the end, it all comes together and you're like, holy shit. The last shot in particular, if you're a fan of Fallout, like, it's for the fans. And you're gonna demand that Amazon suggest a season 2 for this show. It is, it's phenomenal. The humor is perfect. Yeah. The humor is 100% captured. And I'm with you guys. Initially, I thought Lucy was the weakest character.
Yeah.
But as the show goes along, you were rooting for this bitch. Like, it's, I don't know what it is, like, her naivety and seeing, like, how it's affected by the Wasteland really builds on her character. But I gotta say, Maximus is the best character. His story is just pure phenomenal. Like, it's really, really good.
Already in episode three, in the middle of episode three, if you will, I'm already seeing that. Like I said, in the beginning, I was like, yeah, whatever. But then she started winning me over with her charm. And then as it goes on, you start seeing like the literal differences between the Wastelanders and then the Vault Dwellers. Well, her. And it's really funny. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty great.
Yeah. And Walton Goggins.
Yeah, he's fantastic. Ooh. He's fantastic in it. So far, he was fantastic from like the opening, and then like it just got better and better. I'm like, God damn, this guy's such a good actor.
Oh, and you get like his past, and it's so good. It really.
So it's funny too, because you know it's helmed by Jonathan Nolan, right? Christopher Nolan's brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's funny because this guy, he played Fallout 3. And he was like, fuck, this is an awesome game and story. I want to make this into a show. And he didn't shy away from that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, you got these motherfuckers doing the Halo show that says, you know what? We didn't even look at the games. We just took the characters. We're going to do our own thing. And everyone's like, why? Like, you motherfuckers just don't get it. So
No, this truly respects the games.
And it's kind of crazy, too, because it's like, how did they not know to, like, literally mimic the success of The Last of Us, which is, like, almost a one-for-one adaptation.
Yep.
And it went amazing. Like, it's such a good adaptation. And then Halo's like, nah, we're gonna have Master Chief not only take off his helmet, but he's also going to show his ass for some reason.
Well, he's going to be in love with the Human Covenant, too.
Yeah.
Stupid in its own right.
Well, okay, yeah, so you're like, all right.
Yeah. You bring up really interesting points, though, because like Halo's still trying to do the OG Halo story, but in its own way, right?
Yeah.
And that's where it fails.
Yeah.
Last of Us 2 did the OG story in an almost one-to-one way, and it was really profound and really well done.
Yeah.
But this one, it's actually, the game canon is still alive, and it takes place after where pretty much any game is set.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of backup into... it gets to be original and still respect the source material. It gets the hat's cake and eat it too.
I mean, everybody knows, like, well, for people that have never played Fallout, all of these vaults can exist in the Wasteland, but at just different areas, and they're so cut off from each other and then the above ground that literally you're like, oh, yeah, this would totally happen. Like, 33 and 32 probably are over here, and then, you know, 1 and 5 are on the other side of the country or whatever. It makes you believe that, like, oh, okay, this is a show that exists in the video game universe, but it just, those characters haven't crossed or whatever, paths.
The way you describe it, I would say you bring up a really good point. It's good at world building.
Yes.
And it has such a good world to draw from, and it does not shy away. Like, Bethesda's world building helps the show tremendously, but the show's talented enough to actually make it work too.
Yeah,
yeah.
I agree.
They got it right.
They did get it right, dude. Like, we talked about a couple episodes ago too. Like, if they wanted to do their own story in Halo, they should have did a fucking ODST story and just have the Spartans be some fucking badass, like, mythical guys that just show up, wreck everything, and leave. That's what they should have did for Halo, but no.
Where did Halo
touch you, dude? To point on the doll where Halo touched. It's okay. You don't have to keep watching it anymore.
It could have even been from the perspective of a normal soldier who is just learning about who Master Chief is and gets thrown into the war, and is like, you see Master Chief every now and again, but he's not the focal point of the story.
Yeah.
So that way they could have kept the intrigue and like, oh shit, Master Chief is just this like all-encompassingly badass hero, but you know, and then like mix in like, oh shit, he's human too after all, or whatever. But
they said no. How about Master Cheeks? How about Master Cheeks, dude?
You're gonna look at our covenant anyway.
Yes, Fallout, fucking Last of Us, Sonic, Mario, Castlevania. I haven't watched that League of Legends one on Netflix, but I hear it's good. Video games are cooking right now, dude, besides Halo. Halo's the only bad one. Twisted Metal was fucking awesome.
Twisted Metal was good, too.
I still haven't seen it. I'm going to watch it after this.
You should.
It respects the source material in a very similar way, although I got to say, Fallout's one of my favorite right now. Recency bias, but like I'm telling you, I want both of your takes when you get to that fucking finale, because
it'll take a bit, but I'll get there.
I was gonna say
only like, eight episodes.
Well, if there was gonna be a show to release weekly, it should have been Fallout, because
I was just reading that.
No, honestly, you're 100% right, because it actually has really good cliffhanger threads between the rest of the show too.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. But, you
know, maybe they'll do season two weekly.
It sucks though, because like I'm torn. I loved having the binge option, like I really really did, but I would love that weekly discussion.
Yeah,
because there really is a lot to unpack with each episode as it goes along, and that finale. Oof, I'm just saying. Let me know, guys. Let me know when you finish it.
I'll let you know. Yes, they got it right.
They got it right. Yep. Same. Okay. Mm-hmm. Finally, we went to the point of them fucking gets it right. Jesus. So now, before we wrap up here, what are you playing? I'm gonna keep mine super brief. I am on a Souls addiction. I am still playing Dark Souls 1 on the Switch when I can, which has proven to be super fun. And then I actually bought, because there was an Xbox Spring Sale going on, for $8, The Surge 2, which is sci-fi Souls. I played it on Game Pass when it was on there for a while. It is, to me, one of the best non-From Software Souls series, The Surge. They do the gameplay super well, but this fucking thing is really hard.
Is it better than Lies of P?
Yes, a million times better than Lies of P. Yeah, absolutely. I would say The Surge 2 for sure is better than Lies of P.
Oh, damn.
Okay. Yeah, it's to me very unique in that it uses the sci-fi stuff very well, actually.
All right.
So yeah, I would say if there's $8 on your fucking sale, just check it out. It's very, very good. It's going to be hard, though. Like, it's not pull punches for sure. and Dark Souls is a classic. So, yeah, I'm my Souls game. I'm no more open world shit right now. I don't have the time for it. Just give me a nice, frustrating, short burst of experience, and I'm happy.
That's what she said.
All right, what you got, James?
So, I tried Immortals of Avium, which is a free PlayStation Plus game. It fucking sucks.
Immortals of Lania, more like it, huh?
I watched the Highlander movie. It sucks. It was
dude. So I saw it when I remember seeing the trailers, and I was like, "Oh, that looks kind of cool." And then I looked before I downloaded it. I was like, "Huh, it's got a 3.5." Yeah, maybe that's just people like nitpicking. And then I downloaded it, and I was like, "Good lord, this game fucking sucks. It's bad." Like, it kept my attention for like 10 minutes, and I was like, "I deleted it." Like we always say, like Fwen just said, I don't have the time to be wasting on games like this. So I was like, nah, I'm good. So
you suck.
You suck. You will not make this shot. R.I.P. to the boy. But on the plus side, plus Earth side, if you will, I'm finally playing the RE3 remake. That also came out for free for PlayStation Plus. And all I can say is the Nemesis is a big giant asshole. He's even worse than Mr. X, and I'm getting real fucking frustrated with it. But I'm playing it because I was like, dude, like he comes out of nowhere and then he just stays, and I was like, all right, I just walk by? But nope. He's got some weird whip thing that keeps getting me. And I'm like, all right, this is getting annoying. Anyway, but so far it's cool. I mean, it's not my favorite of the remakes. It's not my favorite Resident Evil by any means at all. But you know, it's good. Once I get past that asshole Nemesis, it's going to get, you know, I'm already kind of going through the puzzles and stuff. So, I mean, it's not bad.
Yeah, I would say it's a very fast-paced Resident Evil game.
Right. Actually. Yeah, that's what I'm feeling. Paced. Yeah, I'm like, I got through a bunch of shit really quickly. There is a part there's a part with spiders that bothered me a lot.
I forgot about that.
And I was
part.
Like, oh my God, that was like the only part that like really messed with me, like RE7, RE8 messed with me. I was like, oh, come on. That was not okay. I was like, oh God, they're everywhere. Yeah. Anyway, I mean, I'm having some fun so far, but like I said, that guy's a big giant asshole and he's making me very frustrated.
Hit him with the nade.
I mean, I threw two at him and I didn't realize. I was like, oh man, I'm out.
He's out, right?
He's out. Where did you learn to count? Well, yeah, that's it.
What you got, Cordova?
So like I mentioned earlier, I'm playing the new Destiny update, Into the Light, with the little horde mode. Very fun. They have like the whole, it reminds me of Gears of War with the, like, you can put trip mines, you can put fucking turrets, you can put decoys. It's fun. I mean, it's a nice change of pace from the normal Destiny grind. And then I actually, with the whole Fallout stuff going on, you know, I jumped back into New Vegas on my Steam Deck, and you know, the Fallouts play very well portable. It's very nice to, and they're awesome. You can get 60 FPS for like fucking 6 hours. They're not battery drainers. So, you know, I just ran into my first Deathclaw in the in the desert. So
I want, who are you gonna go? Huh? NCR, fucking Legion, Mr. House. Who's calling out to you?
So I just got out of New Vegas right now, and I think I'm helping the boomers, the fucking old people at the base right now. So yeah, I mean, you know, these Fallout games, you can go fucking 10 different ways.
Especially New Vegas. Vegas, actually.
New Vegas throws a lot of shit at you.
So. I'm not modding this one like I did on my PC because I'm just kind of playing it vanilla. But you know, Steam Deck just plays it awesome. I don't need to download any mods so far.
I always put the Sprint one to me. Seems like a good idea though.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like the Steam Deck, there is a way to mod it. I just haven't got into that whole. I don't know if it, I don't think it's through Steam. I think it's through Vortex, which is a whole nother thing I need to download. But it's playing fine for me, so that's why I haven't really gone out of my way to mod that experience. But you know, yeah, it's fun. It's fun as hell fucking playing for like 15, 20 minutes and then putting it down, saving it and all that. I downloaded Fallout 3 too recently. I haven't started that, but I'm just like, you know, I want to see how that plays because that one's just an absolute classic.
Yeah, Ruben's been playing that one. He says it's fucking phenomenal. That's the first time playing it too.
Oh, yeah.
Playing Fallout 3? Woo! Yeah. Man, Fallout 3's a fucking great game.
God, this is good. You know, Fallout itself, I'm just saying, with the show and everything, it's got my heart. It's got my heart again.
Kind of killing it right now. Kind of killing it.
And then I'm still playing Final Fantasy 16. It's just nice to have a somewhat nice linear story to play through and not have to deal with open worldness and all that.
Yeah, that's how I'm feeling too.
Yeah, you know, that's my linear game. Fallout's scratching the open worldness, you know, but Final Fantasy 16, man, is just awesome. Like I said, I mentioned it before a couple of episodes ago. The story is not like any other Final Fantasy I've ever played. So, yeah, I'm back in that.
Oh, nice. All right. Well, shit, we're playing some good game. We eating good this week, except we're all pissed off at fucking Ubisoft again. But, you know, it's fine.
I'm just really like waiting. I'm waiting to throw myself into Paper Mario. That's what I'm doing.
That's coming next sooner,
month.
Too.
Next Fuck. Month. That's all
Luigi
I'm
2
for.
After that? Wow. All right. Let's fucking go. All right. Well, and then after this, I guess we're just going to do our absurd headline right here. Who wants it?
I'll take it.
Take it. Go for it.
COD gamers, otherwise known as Call of Duty gamers, are upset at an $80 quote-unquote beast glove for purchasing all Godzilla and Kong or X-Kong DLC packs. One Redditor is quoted as saying, quote, holy fuck, it was not worth it. It doesn't do anything special. Thought it would at least ragdoll enemies, if not corpse launch them. You can't even equip camos over it, end quote. Basically, if you haven't seen Godzilla and Kong, like I haven't yet, but you've seen the trailer, there's this giant yellow glove that Kong uses or does something with. Don't know. I haven't seen it, but $80 is how much that thing cost.
Damn.
Yeah, well, that's actually, more than the game.
Yeah. You get it for buying all four packs. But yes, $80 because each pack is $20.
Oh, well, there you go. And so, it doesn't do anything but just sit on your arm and look yellow. So yeah. If you want to do what we were saying earlier and spend like $25, in this case $80, on a cape, in this case a glove, fucking go for it, but you're stupid.
Is this the kind of message you want to send Microsoft with your first year with this fucking company you just spent $70 million on? Like an $80 glove with some DLC packs or a movie sponsorship? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I will say, for the first time ever, I finally bought my first skin on Fortnite, but It was because it was Shredder.
It's slowly getting him, isn't it?
It was because it was Shredder, all right?
Yeah, and, but Fortnite, you get but it was 10 like, bucks, dude.
It was 10 bucks. It was $10, and you get a whole mission pack where you get to do all this extra cool shit, and you get more stuff added to it. Yeah, it's like 80 goddamn dollars.
Getting suckered in right now, dude.
Hey, wait. Just wait till fucking, I think in like 3 or 4 weeks, they're going to do a big old Star Wars event where they're going to drop a whole bunch of fucking Star Wars skins with the same type of premise. You're going to get sucked right back in.
Yeah, nah, dude.
He's going through the shop like, Boba Fett.
Boba Fett.
Nah, dude. It's the Shred dude, all right? So I was happy to pay $10 to play as Shredder. It's the one and only skin I'll ever buy for Fortnite, and I'm happy I bought it.
They better be playing Go Ninja Go every time you win on the fucking
Oh no, it doesn't.
But it's all right though. You get to throw your gloves and
your claws into the ground.
It's pretty cool. Anyway, whatever, man. But yeah, $80 for a glove that doesn't do anything is kind of stupid.
That is dumber. Yes. As much
gaming. No, that gaming? Is dumb. All right, I'm not dumb for getting. You're dumb.
How fucking dare you?
All right. In 2024, people.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, that, ladies and gentlemen, was the NPC Gaming Podcast episode 30. We did it, guys. That's a good amount. Anyway, so we will be back in a couple of weeks to top off with our wins and our fails. So I think I kind of got my win already after I finished 8 episodes, but we'll see.
Bet you do.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to finish. Yep, I had that joke's not going anywhere. Anyways, hey, you can catch me, of course, on the Horrible People's Podcast, where I discuss a scary movie every week. We are in sequel April, and boy, was our first sequel pretty bad. And next week's is not going to be that great, but we'll see how it goes. Just Horrible People's Podcast right now. And of course, right here talking about your gaming news and trying not to bitch as much, but honestly, the world of gaming in 2024 is stupid. Where can they find you guys, James?
Places. You can find me on the Horrible People's Network, on the Turning Tables podcast, which is a live D&D campaign. Please go listen to that. It's a lot of fun. I have a lot of fun recording it. So if you ever wanted to know about D&D and hear some funny character stuff and roleplay, go listen to that. I also have my own solo podcast called the Retired Mosher Podcast, which I will get back to recording at some point in my life, but right now I'm training a dog that is the size of a horse, so it's a little difficult for me to record a podcast, but I am trying. I recorded at least half of the next episode, so I'm working on it. But go give that a follow at Retired Mosher Pod on Instagram. I promise I will get going here again. That's it.
Hi, I'm Cordova.
You don't got a lake up there where you live, bud, or what, dude?
Nah, dude, I'm not gonna drop my dog off at the lake, you sick bastard. You sadistic bastard.
He's a sadistic bastard.
And I'm reaping all the benefits. So sorry, I thought we were doing wedding singer stuff. I'm here on the NPC Gaming Podcast, and then I also have a little gaming Instagram that I'm still working on these videos, dude. Like, I just, work has just been absolutely crazy these past couple months.
Yeah.
So.
No, I feel it. When he punches in, he's like, give me time.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah, exactly. I used to be able to do this type of I used to be able to write the podcasting and do some editing on work hours, quote unquote. I don't think anyone from my work listens, so I'm fine. But it's just, I haven't had time. So I'm trying to get back to editing some videos and shit that I have. Feel you. But Instagram is just Big Bang Cordova, all one word.
There you go. All right. Well, with that, this has been a production of the Horrible People's Network. There's a slew of shows on there, James on half of them, that you can enjoy. And with that, we will see you next week. No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks.
Peace. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Slay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.